Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day. All right, everybody. Welcome back. Best Other Day podcast. Me, Fern, Nick True, Mr. Money Man. Real quick, before we dive into the show, if you guys are like us, you want affiliates owner, you want affiliates to grow all over the world. You want to have better coaches all over. So if you have not checked out your 7-day trial of the knowledge, go in there, go on besthour.com. You can find the knowledge in there. Try it out. Let your coaches in there. We do have packages for affiliate owners because we got tons of questions for that, but check it out. You will not regret it. I was recently told by a client it was the best CrossFit coaching resource ever made. So I don't know if that's true or not, but try it out. Let us know what you think. But that's not the point of the show. Nick, welcome back, man.
Yeah, glad to be back, man.
So what we are going to do today, guys, is we are going to dive into some actual budgets and talk about a couple different scenarios. And we're going to cover three different scenarios. Nick was so kind to model these off of three different gyms. So these are within reason, real gyms. These are not hypothetical numbers. We took these numbers off of people to create different scenarios to talk about how we can, how we would navigate these three scenarios. So that being said, Nick, I will punt to you.
Perfect. Yeah. So the way I kind of want to do it is I'm going to share my screen. And so, yeah, if you're listening to the podcast, I would definitely encourage you. This is one where you're probably going to want to hop over to YouTube. We will try to talk through the numbers and say as much as possible so that if you are in your car or whatever, that's fine. But I would definitely pop over to YouTube at some point and check out this episode. So let me go ahead and share. We'll get that running.
And if you guys don't know, so Nick is kind of like a YNAB specialist, which is you need a budget. He's our budgeting coach in Best Hour. And this is what we teach everybody to utilize specifically for gyms.
Okay. So I'm going to give you some context. Yeah. So the way I want to do this, Fern, is like, and I kind of already told you, but I want to walk through each one and then set up the context for you. And then just kind of let you talk through if there's a few different ways that they could improve this. What would you look at? How would you think about it? And I'll ask some questions along the way. So the first gym we're going to talk about is, let's imagine relatively newer gym, let's say first, you know, year or two in operations, and they're in a lower cost area. I model this one off of like a low cost area in the South, which is where I live. And here's the total numbers in terms of revenue before I dive into the expenses. So right now we're going to work from an average revenue of like $13,000 a month.
Okay.
We're going to say 12.5 of that is memberships or, you know, coaching. And we're going to say 500 of that is retail, right? Could be supplements, could be t-shirts, whatever.
That sounds about accurate. Yeah. Based on those revenue numbers.
Yes. Yeah. So 12.5 and 500. So we're at 13, and then total number of members at the gym right now is 125.
Okay. So we're looking at, if somebody's doing the math on that, we're talking about we'll call it a low average client value. So talking about $100 average client value across the board here. So
yes, yes, exactly. And then let's dive in and take a look at what the budget looks like. So the first thing we're going to notice is, in terms of just cash on hand, they've got, you know, 6,000, about half a month's worth of cash right now.
About half a month's rent, or so half a month's budget.
And then they've got, you know, a little bit of credit card debt, but they're doing their best to kind of try and pay that thing down each month. But they do have some loans that they've taken out to get things started. You know, maybe they had an EIDL, maybe they took a personal bank loan or a family loan or whatever to buy equipment at the beginning, that kind of thing. And so then digging into some of the numbers themselves, we're going to say the affiliate fee, we've got this set up to where it's just, I'm saving $300 a month for my annual fee. And
right.
So
perfect.
I'm setting that up to be, you know, basically $3,000 by next August.
Perfect.
Building rent
Of right now, we think that's going to be sold for next year, but I don't know. We'll talk. All sorts of rumors flying around about affiliate fees. Okay. All sorts of rumors flying around. So
I haven't,
might have bumped that to five. Yet. I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I made that up. So the internet better not blow up on me. I literally just made that number up. Pulled it out of my ass. building a rent.
You heard it here first. No.
Barely. So I would probably base that number off of something between a 3,000 to 4,000. The building rent, my bad. Like a 3,000 to 4,000 square foot space.
Okay, cool. Perfect.
Which sounds about
2350. Here's, you know, we've got these debt loans, right? So there's 350 a month to the bank loan, 450 a month to the EIDL. And then, you know, now we're getting into, for people who don't use YNAB and don't know the way that we teach this, what we try to do is for things that vary. So like education and coaching, this could be getting a certification or a seminar. This could be buying books or courses, equipment. It's buying no equipment, fixing no equipment. For things that vary like this, financial and legal varies, marketing varies, meals, all of these items, you're going to notice I have chosen averages that we are budgeting for on a monthly basis. And so what we're looking at here in terms of the numbers is the averages. And so education and coaching, I put in 500, equipment and maintenance, saving 400 a month for that. Fees and credit cards, this is really just small bank fees. So you'll notice in this budget, I know I'm giving you a lot, in this budget, the revenue, that 13K number, we're going to say it's happening after merchant fees. So imagine they're using something like Wattify that's taking their fees before distributing to the bank.
Okay, that's because I was going to say that seems a little low, but now that you explain that, that makes more sense.
And so this is just really like a wire fee or like credit card interest that happened to slip through or something like that. Financial and legal, saving up to pay the accountant every year, maybe having to do a, you know, small legal thing. Building insurance. And then marketing, 200 a month. Again, keeping in mind, we may not spend that every single month, but on average, that's what we're doing. Meals, miscellaneous, the open, this would be like saving up to provide like some food or drinks or whatever at like a big open thing in March. Couple other items here, outside service, contractor, hiring the occasional person, having photography done every now and again for Instagram or other sort of marketing efforts. Software subscriptions, this is going to be our, you know, Spotify, our planners, all that stuff.
Honestly, it might be a little high. If you're using Wattify or some of these other gyms, probably closer to 500, but.
Okay. And then.
People are really sloppy with software subscriptions, just as a
they
whole.
Are.
Even just gym owners, but just everybody.
No. Yeah. It gets really big, really fast if you're not careful. Supplies in Amazon, 275 right now.
Okay.
And then team payroll, $3,000 a month, and utilities at 600.
Okay.
Now, I've got these targets set up to where they're more or less dead on with the income. And so what we're doing is the owner's distribution amount right now is they're paying $2,000 a month to the owner.
Okay.
And we're budgeting $350 in like retail and $650 in saving for taxes, personal income taxes.
Okay.
And so this gym is not running like proper payroll. Everybody's contractors.
Okay.
You know, it's just, there's no payroll taxes. It's just the owner, their profit and what's left over.
Okay.
So this is sort of the context. And so some questions I would have for you is like, let's start out with on the revenue side.
Right.
If we were going to try and increase revenue or deal with revenue, what comes to mind? You said that you feel like it's a little bit on the lower side of average client value. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm not a believer that you can just jack rates up to the moon, like some people are, and just gouge people for money. But I would tell you there is a ton of room here, for increasing rates. And, now, how long or how easy that's going to be, we would need more context. So, you know, but let's easily say that within 6 months, I would be fully confident because I have done this, I don't know, no less than 50 to 100 times with numbers similar to this, that within 6 months that we could increase that ACV by 25%. So we could go to 125 ACV or increasing total revenue by 25% is really what that would end up doing, which seems like it seems ridiculous to say, but when we're talking about what that ACV currently looks like, it's actually not a ridiculous endeavor. And we have like crazy high success rate. That's like basically 100% when we do this.
Cool. So we're saying like current, so on the revenue side, right? We're going to say revenue is currently at, you know, $100 a member.
Right.
At 125 members. And you feel like we could get that to 125?
I would be able to do that all day long. I have done this more times than I can remember.
And so that alone, right? Like 125.
Being super conservative with that, by the way.
Yeah. 125 to 125. Like that alone takes us to 15, 625. So that alone is, you know, an extra $2,600 a month.
Right.
And then you're probably selling, you know, so cool. Now on the retail side, do you feel like that number is good? So current retail.
Yep. I know like a lot of people. Yeah. I wouldn't even worry about that just yet.
Okay.
I would leave all of those things as is. And I would be, before I go spending more money there, I would be looking at repurposing some of those other kind of nice to have budgets. Right now, we don't necessarily need to, because now we have more than enough. So that owner just went from, you know, 24,000 a year to, let's just say they took all of that. No, let's say they took half of that increase. Right. Cause they went from 12, right, to 12.5 to 15.6 or something like that, whatever that was.
Is that accurate? Yeah. So basically let's say new profit is going to be total is going to be, 12.5 to 15.6. So you're basically 31.25
right,
and increased profit, assuming that we're able to increase to 125 without.
Right. Which on a 6 month timeline, that's very, very reasonable. And I would probably try to do it sooner than that, but those are all real numbers just because like we're starting off with a pretty low and this, and a lot of people make this mistake and don't understand that like that membership is setting you up for failure.
Yeah.
And then just for context, even if you were, so because people freak out about this, even if you did raise your rates to $125 and you lost, I don't know, what is that, 15% of your clients, which would be an astronomically high. This is a 25 people quit because they're like, screw you, Nick. This is ridiculous. I can't believe you're going to gouge us for 25 extra bucks. You're in the exact same spot you were before with a better pricing model. Like literally the math works out to be pretty much exactly the same.
Love it. Cool. So this feels like big lever number one. Great. Let's work on increasing this. And yeah, like you said, even if the owner just took half of the new profit, that takes us from 24K a year to 42K a year.
Yeah. And then in order, so I would want to be a little greedy here because this early in the game for a couple different reasons. One, for behavior change. So the owner gets accustomed to paying themselves prioritize themselves. So I would probably steal another, I don't know. I would probably look at stealing another $600 to $700 a month from some of those bonus budget pieces, right? Some low hanging fruit would be
okay. Cool. Yeah.
So some low hanging fruit would be like I would take back marketing because you're probably not spending a ton there. I would take back probably the meals at least for right now. I'd probably take out the open to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because you can do the low rent version of that, and it's definitely not going to cost you because that was a monthly target, right?
Yeah, well, I have it set up to be 1200 by March. And so,
that's a nice to have. But I would definitely take that back and give it to the owner. And that doesn't mean run a shitty open, but you can do the open low rent because most of us did it forever without spending any money. You can even monetize the open.
Love it.
And then, there's two other things you could do here. And we would end up recommending over a long enough period of time, which is like I'd pass on the credit card fees, which at 3% would be about $400. And then,
say that again, you're going to pass the credit card fees on.
Yeah, I would pass those on to the client because particularly at $125 is not going to have a huge impact to what's
on them, but
it's $3.75. So I would just pass that on. And then I would also look to move to 4 week billing because that would immediately raise your overall revenue by about 12%.
Cool. Okay. So we shift around some of those items. We take the meals down. I put $10 in it for meals and $20 for marketing.
And when we say meals, just for reference, I when I look at meals, I don't look at meals for like owner benefit. I look at meals for like the team. So that's, at least that's the way we spend it. So I would just not do that right now. Right. I would come back to it. That is built in my budget. We rarely spend more than $150 a month there for monthly meetings, but let's just say for right now, we bring it back to zero. And this, by the way, is the value of running this budget so that you can actively go in there and be like, I don't need that. I'm going to siphon that off and I'll put it in another spot.
Yep.
So right now we just raised this owner comp by $6,000 a year. So we went from 41 to 47 and we're creeping up on a $50,000 income.
Yep. So we're going to say owner takes $1,500 a month from the increased profit. Owner finds $600 a month from spending. Now we've increased it, you know, boom. So yeah, we're owners now at, what is that? We go from 4,100 times 12 is, we're at 50K, 49.2.
So that would be where I would go there. And then anything past this is where I would be factoring additional owner pay into growth. And I would start building those other buckets.
Love it.
But I'm not going to probably start budgeting, pushing money over into retail and these other places, and retail should pay for itself anyway. But I'm going to take care of the owner first to give them the bandwidth and the emotional blankets.
It's breathability, right? Like when you feel like you're personally drowning and you can't breathe, then oh my gosh,
And then I'm thinking of some other stuff like financial and legal. I mean, most of that is going to go to an accountant. Almost nobody sets aside money for legal. Photography, I might siphon that off and just do it, you know, by myself for a little bit.
Okay.
So I would start pulling all of these off to buffer, you know.
I think it's so easy for owners to start feeling like they need these things. Like I see a lot of gems at this size doing meals, you know, setting aside a little bit for professional photo. No. Like I see that stuff.
I'm like, strip that, leave the category, but strip that thing, man. Like, like bring it down to bare bones in order to, and this is the good practice in general, just as like, that's a hard business decision that you have to be capable of making as a business owner.
Totally.
And notice that we didn't do any of this at the expense of the team. Cause like, I actually don't, that they're, those numbers they had, there are both about 25% each for their team payroll and their rent, which are within range, right?
Okay.
At least for a gym this size. So okay. I'm not going to mess around with those too much. But at this point, I mean, shit, dude, 15,000, what's the owner benefit total? Like $5,000.
Yeah. Now we're up to, hold on.
So, I mean, at this point we just took this gym. This is not, by the way, I did not see any of these numbers before Nick sent them to me, but like I see these all the time. Right. And we do this all the time that we just pushed this gym owner into a 33% profit margin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You know, yeah. Cause if we, let's say we get totals up to that 15,600. So we're 16 total in terms of, no changes on the retail side.
Right.
And so we've siphoned all that off, which means now we can jump that up to what happens if I do this 5,000 a month. Yep. That gets us there. And then we siphoned off meals. We siphoned off open. We siphoned off photography. I bumped up software to 500.
I think that's more realistic. Cause if you think like, if you're playing Wattify, it's about $300 maybe. If you've got, I mean, it could be even higher than that, very candid with you. If you're paying for Wattify, $300 to $400. If you're paying for anything that's go high level related, you're talking about another $300 to $400. So that could easily get to $700-$800 without anybody even batting an eye.
And then we increase revenue.
Fit Radio subscriptions just went up. And then what was their credit card payment monthly?
I pulled that off. So let's say we're finally paying that thing off in full. So we get that done. And now we are actually up to be able to go to 50. Well, we said we're not going to do all of it. So, cause I'm going to do profit savings of 500 a month that we're going to then reinvest into something. And so, you know, now we're, And now we got our totals at 16 grand, 48.50 a month. And that's after tax, taking home 58K.
I mean, I could think of worse spots to be in. Yeah. I could think of worse spots. Particularly, and for this is probably somebody who, like, typically this scenario is somebody who's leaving. This is very likely, for, at least I'm thinking I'm rolling through the Rolodex of gym owners, but like this is probably a lateral, maybe slightly up move, maybe even slightly down, right? But let's just say that the person that's trying to do these numbers is probably leaving a profession that is like, call it plus or minus about 7K off of that current number that they're rolling around at, which, you know, to do a startup and then go, you know, and be within arm's reach of your previous earnings with nothing but upside if you continue to do this better, you know, and and these numbers, we've seen gym owners do this in a year from open. I've seen people do it in like much closer to that in 6 to 9 months.
Amazing. Anything else on number one?
No, I think the big takeaway here is that, like, you know, like you want to have all of these categories, but like it's okay to strip them clean to reallocate themselves. Like, I forget who I was talking to recently, but like same thing. They're like, hey, I don't think I'm gonna take a paycheck. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, I don't know. So we opened up the budget. I'm like, reallocate that. She was like, I can do that. And I was like, that's what it's for. Like, you don't need any of that. I mean, they had a like sizable equipment budget and a bunch of other stuff, but I'm like, this is how you can avoid that at all cost.
Yep. I think it's easy for people to start feeling selfish, right? Like you said, and it's recognizing that there's nothing selfish about making sure that you're compensated well so that you can stay in business and continue helping people actually get fit and healthy and all the things you care about doing. Like, because if you do it the other way, then what's going to happen is you're going to build this unsustainable situation and you're going to go out of business. And then now, like, well, who's that helping?
And we didn't factor in 4 week billing, by the way. 4 week billing would bring the total revenue in that gym up to, let's just swag it. Say 15,000 times 12, 180. And then, so it would be, you'd be almost at 200K. So you'd go to 195,000. So you'd have an extra 15K to play with throughout the course of the year.
Yeah. So that's an additional, 1,300 a month. Amazing. Yeah.
Right. Cool. So you could easily push this person. I mean, if you push them, if you split that, you did $500-$600 of that back to yourself. We're now back up into the mid 50s, pushing 60K. Yeah.
Yep. Cool. You want to go to number two?
Yeah. Which, by the way, if you were a teacher, want to quit your job, you probably got a pay raise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So number two, we're going to say this is like more middle cost of living area.
Okay.
We've got a total target on this one. Total revenue is going to be 24.
Okay.
Or sorry, 26. Sorry, 26. 24 is memberships. 2 is retail.
Okay. So out of the gate, this one sounds better, but I don't know.
180 members. And then their monthly comp, they're currently paying themselves $5,250.
Okay.
Now let's dig into some of the other numbers and we'll see what's going on. So you're going to notice that this gym, unlike the other one, doesn't have any debt.
Mm-hmm.
It's paying off the credit card every month. It's got some good cash in the bank. And so let's dig in and see what we're noticing here. So in the business savings, first off, we've got 18 grand saved up that we've just been putting into profit every single month that we haven't decided what to do with yet. You can see the bulk of the money for savings is we're trying to save up and buy a building.
Right.
We're also saving each month to pay our own taxes. So that's just all money that's sitting in the savings account coming off the top.
Now, by the way, I know owners people are looking at some of these numbers and they're like, that's not real. I can think of at least a half a dozen gyms that I by name that have these kind of cash reserves that are not loan generated, that are literally just cash on hand.
Yep.
You know,
So,
and that's part of why I wanted to show this one, right? Like, I wanted to show this as an example of, you know, what's fun about our jobs is like, we get to see most gym owners. I imagine they know their numbers, and then maybe they're friends with like a few other people that mm-hmm. maybe they sometimes get privy to know their numbers.
Right.
But you get to, I mean, I can't imagine how many gyms numbers you've looked at. And I mean, I've looked at smart, at least 100 in the past year.
I mean, I've seen
like
probably over 500, just yeah. me personally. I've put my eyeballs on over 500 gyms numbers.
Yeah. And so, I mean, look, is this 75% of the gyms I look at? No. But do I see these numbers? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can, I know you and I both know somebody who was like, hey, I have all this money. I'm like, called Nick. And he was like, yeah, you're going to need to move that out of there and put that in something.
Yeah,
like
we got to get that out of checking. Savings, yes. Bro.
This is the same guy who's just like, I need to hire somebody and I can't figure out how to do it. I'm like, well, you're sitting on, I don't know, six figures, bro. Just fly somebody to your gym. And if it doesn't work out, worst case scenario, you're out of $3,000 for travel and lodging. You know, so like, oh, I never thought of it that way. I'm like, that's what it's for.
That's why it's here. Oh man. But yeah, so you're totally right though. Right. So like, cool. We're saving every month. We're doing these things. Cool. Owner's distribution. That's there. All right. Let's dig into some of these numbers. Yeah, a little bit.
These expenses. So,
affiliate fees, the exact same as the last one. Building yep. rent. We're at $4,500 a month.
Okay.
Education and coaching, I put 1,000 in here. This is could be for you, could also be for maybe saving up for getting some of your coaches certified.
Mm-hmm.
Equipment, we've got at 500. In this budget, you'll notice I'm running 1,200 on the bank card fees. And so this is not like the previous scenario. This is where like we're using a merchant account that is
right.
taking them out as we go. And let me just make sure that number's might be high. Let me look. It's about 4.6%. So could be a little bit high.
It's a little bit high, but still, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I'll drop it to 1,000 and
let's assume everybody there use Amex.
Yeah. Event competition. So this is like, hey, we're running an event. We want to make sure we got $3,000 as the budget. We hope that it will pay for itself. But we're trying to be prudent and just make sure mm-hmm. that we're saving for it. Again, financial and legal accountants are not going to significantly vary. You'll notice we're using the same number as the last one.
Right.
Okay. This one, now we're doing some stuff that the last one doesn't have. Like this would mm-hmm. be like gift giving, like, oh, right. somebody had a wedding or their dad died or whatever. Insurance, marketing, meals, miscellaneous. So you'll notice, like, just think about the numbers that from the last gym, you know, this one's running twice as much revenue mm-hmm. and is leaner on
right.
some of these
in
things.
Certain spots.
Yep. And then software subscriptions, that's a big one. Obviously, we've got 1,500. Supplies and Amazon is also at 15. Team payroll at 5 and utilities at 950.
Okay.
What do you All think? Right. And you know, feel free to critique some of my numbers as well, but like putting this
Yeah,
together,
there's a couple of these that are high, right? But that doesn't mean that it would, and by the way, that doesn't mean that those,
yeah.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. And so these yeah. are places where I would go and I would cut, right? So supplies and Amazon, right? So you could reduce some of those costs by looking at like, where are they getting their supplies? I would immediately be like, hey, where are you getting some of your paper plastic from? Is it from Good Earth? You could do an everything via Amazon because you can, I would argue that's probably about $500 high. You know, okay. like I was running our averages yeah. and we have all sorts of shit we have to buy all the time. And mine averages, I think, but between like around $900.
Okay.
And my budget is significantly larger than this. So I could cut $500 out of there by just potentially finding other vendors. That software subscription is probably a bit high too. Right. So you could probably at least squeeze another $500 out of there. That's $1,000.
Okay. Love that.
What I was looking at. Oh yeah. ACV here is like average. So it's $145. It's 144 something to be exact, but,
How do you feel about that? Is that something where you would go like, we need to focus on that? Or
it depends. But based on what you're telling me, that this is a middle income, that's low, right? So for me, right, immediately I look at that. And that's, and the reason that's probably low is because this gym is probably running, you know, some weird tiered, or they got some legacy members in there and some other stuff. But like, this would be a gym, if we're talking about a medium income area, that could easily push towards like 160 and probably have no problems. But if they're running at 145, I'd be more than comfortable making that jump to 160. So what is that? That's an immediate increase of, and again, I'm swagging this just based on my kabillion times doing this.
50. You're still, you're, I mean, even that push, you go to 160, you're jumping revenue up 2,800.
That's a 9%.
Yeah.
Increase in revenue.
Yeah.
So I would play around with that. I'd probably pass the fees at the same time when I went through that. That's another 3%. Yep. So we just jumped 12%. You do a 4-week billing, you're at, that's another 12%. We're at 24% increase with no growth. And then we stole back, call it another $1,000 out of the budget. And what was the other? I could easily steal back $1,500 out of this budget. The other one was the go up. I think it was the, education and coaching. So at $500, by the way, if you find a gym that's spending $12,000 on their staff education, man, that would be amazing. I'd bring that down to 500.
Okay.
Because think about it, right? If you had a if you had to send five people to their level one that year, or their level two, or pay for, like, you could cover all of that.
Yeah.
Annually.
Yeah.
Right. So we just stole another $1,500 or what are the $18,000 back into the budget.
Yep. So let's do some math. And then I got a couple questions for you, because this kind of leads into the question I want to ask with this one. So we said we increased revenue by 24%. Is that right? Because we do the price increase and then move to 4-week billing and pass the credit card fees.
Correct. All of those would equal a 24% increase in revenue.
Cool. So we're going to say 26,000 times 1.24. So now we're up to 32,240.
Yeah.
And then we decreased software, supplies in Amazon, and education for another basically 1,500. Mm-hmm. Cool. So now my question is, let's say that this gym owner is doing a lot of work themselves, right?
Well, I knew you were going here.
We've got,
and the answer, Nick, is both.
Okay, good, good.
So I know where you're going with this.
We've got owner's distribution of $5,000. Hey, like, I'm real happy with that. I'm making good money, but like, dude, I'm just killing myself. And like, I'm starting to burn out, and I'm really trying to figure out, like, right now I got a whole team of, you know, just like part-time coaches that are helping me out. But, you know, it's the, Hermosi says, a genius with 1,000 helpers or something like that. Right.
Right.
Is, you know, I'm cool, but man, it'd be really nice to have a full-time employee to maybe look at getting a GM in here. How do I do that?
I'm looking at two things, right? So we just bumped our revenue by what, $6,000. Is that what that was?
Yeah. So we've got, 32,240. Yeah. From 26. Yeah. So we're up $6,000.
And that's not including the 1500 that we freed up.
No. And we freed up another 1500.
This is great. Okay. Perfect. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay this gym owner six figures right out the gate. I'm going to bump his pay up by about $3,000. Okay. And then I'm going to use the additional, I have an additional 4,500 to work with. And now I'm going to be looking at hiring a full-time coach, but I'm probably not going to spend all 4,500 of that. I'm probably going to spend 2,500 of that. So my payroll goes from in some change to 7,500, because that's more than enough to pay, you know, a full-timer $60,000, which now there's two people in the business making a good living. And then
so
I've got
say
an
that
additional
one more time. Sorry. So you're $3,000. You say, would you say 4,500?
So after I pay the gym owner an additional 3,000, I would have a 4,500 left over.
Left over. Got it.
So I've got the 3,000 additional. So we raised revenue by six. I'm going to siphon off of three of that to give it to the owner.
Yep.
And so I've got three left, and then have the 1500 that we squeezed on the budget.
Love it. So we got 45.
I've got 4,500 over. I'm probably going to allocate 2,500 of that back to payroll. So payroll now goes to 7,500, at which point I've got more than enough to pay somebody 50 to 60K and pay all my part-timers.
Cool. So let's
and now this gym owner probably just got back 50% of their time.
Love that. And then let me increase. So if we're doing, because I want to be real here, we've got taxes to work in here. And then let's say we now are running full time. So we're probably going to have a little bit more in taxes. So let's just bump this up to 20 to 50, just in case.
It feels about right.
And so now we're looking at totals of 31.5. And we're doing 32. Revenue at 32.
Yeah. So you're still
that means
$700 left over.
We're still putting $700 a month towards the building down payment. And now we get to have fun and go like, all right, as the owner, what are our personal priorities? Like, we've freed up a lot of our time. Do we want to pay ourselves six figures, or do we want to like save aggressively, buy a building and then bump our comp up? Like, now we have a lot of optionality and flexibility to start.
Yeah. And some of this depends, right? This depends on like what it's going to cost for a building, but you know, what is it at 20%? Let's just say that if at 100K, you're going to be buying, what a 700,
if you do 20%, that's $500,000.
It's $500,000 building, which might not be realistic, but in plenty of places, that's totally realistic.
Yeah.
But you know, at this point, you're still setting aside, you're buffering your building down payment by, call it roughly $6,000 to $7,000 annually. Again, right? So he's going to be well over 80 in the next 18 months of doing that. And this is before figuring out some other ways to reduce your tax liability, because that could end up being a little bit high. But let's just say that you were able to figure out several different strategies to just keep that every year, because that's real. At which point you're growing. I mean, you're buying a building within 5 years. You're buying $1 million building within 5 years.
Yeah. Well, and again, like, and that's if you didn't. And so this is where like I'm thinking about it from the personal side now too, and going like, all right, does it make more sense for me to pay myself six figures?
And be like, hey, I'm happy with 85.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Or like pay myself 85 and put 15K to the building down payment every year, you know, extra.
Yeah. Which at which point you're just like, that's, you know, because the reality is like somebody who is mapped out what they want to do, they're, if they're doing this, they're definitely doing it personally. So their personal budget is probably tight. Yes. At which point they probably made that decision. They're like, okay, you know, if listen, and if you're 25 to 35 making 80K and, you're, you know, like you're living just fine off of 85K. Yeah. If you're doing all of these things, at which point you're buying a building in three, you're buying $1 million asset in 3 years.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean, and like I said, like we have more than a handful of clients that have cash on hand like that. And again, to be specific, that is not loan generated.
Yes. Yes. Love it. All right. You ready for the third one?
Let's do it.
Okay. So let's get the numbers in here first, and then I'll share the budget. All right. So we've got, we're going to say a little bit higher cost of living area.
Okay.
this gym is currently losing money every month.
Okay. Which is also common.
Yes.
I'm going to guess on the range, but I'll let you tell me.
I'm going to do, and I decided to do something a little bit different instead of doing like even a brand new gym that's like, oh, obviously we're getting started and we're losing money every month because we started last month, is one that's a little bit more established, but still just, we're still just struggling with some stuff. And so we've got our total targets, meaning what we are spending and needing each month is 27.2, but our income is only 25.
Okay.
We've got 190
probably members. A little, probably a little high on the loss, like, before things started to get real squirrely, but
yeah, crazy.
I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. And 27-2, let me be clear, you'll see it in the budget. This is not necessarily that they're straight losing $2,000 every single month, but if they're really saving appropriately for the way they should be for their affiliate fee annually and like that kind of stuff, it adds up to 27-2.
Okay.
They're currently paying themselves $1,500 a month.
Okay.
So let's dig into some of the numbers and figure out what is going on.
And you said this is higher
cost of living. And yeah, so you can imagine like,
not always, but it can mean that they're, this is actually now a weird one, meaning,
it's an odd one.
It's only odd now is what I would tell you. I don't think this was odd 5 years ago, meaning if it's a higher cost of living area, typically the mean incomes would,
have been
in alignment, and that is now not the case in a ton of areas, right? So this is actually a very real scenario given current shit going on.
Because
I'm looking at that ACV at about $130, and that seems low based on high cost of living, but I have seen some places where all of those things map up, where it's just like high cost of living, but the mean income is not great.
And that's, you know, that's part of the issue, to your point, right, is like in some cities, square footage is just really tough to come by.
Right.
And then that puts your fixed costs at a certain amount, and it gets hard to push that ACV. But cool. So like when I look, you know, click in here, you're going to see.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Okay. We've got credit card debt, and we got a bank loan. So we're looking at, you know,
all those are
just under $100K of some debt we've racked up here.
Okay.
And then when I dig into some of the expenses. Again, affiliate fee, same, but building rent, we're at $7,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
We've got $500 a month at the debt payment. So that's servicing that bank loan. Education, equipment, $300 and $500. Bank card fees, let's drop this down to be more like where the other one was.
Realistically, is that bank loan payment real?
On that, if you can get one at like 10, It's not.
What's the terms on this?
So we're going to say, let me look here. Let me go back to the account. Here we go. I put it in here at 70 at 9% with a $500 a month minimum payment. Does that sound low to you? Feels low?
It only sounds low because you're probably not going to get a 30-year term on that. Unless that's an EIDL loan.
That's what I was like putting it in here. So let me just call it that.
You're honestly probably going to be, oh, okay. That actually is real now. Okay. Yeah. And this is also real where people like chewed up every ounce of that.
Totally. And this, I've seen that. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that. All right. So event competition for next summer. Financial and legal, same numbers. Gift to staff member from the same one. Budget. Mm. Insurance is $500 a month. Again, you'll notice this is considerably higher than the one in the previous example.
Even that's probably still a little high.
Okay. We can drop that down. Let's make it more. What do you think?
Like I think even $300 insurance on. Because, okay. I mean, if you're looking at a typical insurance for like $1 million umbrella, depending on who you're looking at, it's anywhere between $1,700 to $2,500 premium.
Cool.
So let's go, you know.
Outside service contractor, photography. I know this seems high, and again, we can talk about it as part of strategy, but I see this. Yep.
Right.
Software subscriptions, $900. Let me go into here so you can see the numbers. $900 on the software. Supplies and Amazon, $8. Team payrolls at $75.
Okay.
And then, you know, I see a number of these, so I put one in here on this one, be like traveling to go to the CrossFit Games. I put that in here for $5,000 for next year. And then utilities at $850.
Okay. Leave that up for just a second. Let me look at it. $300. Let's see.
utilities, that probably checks out. Let's see. Oh yeah, the comp. Okay, let's see. 2, 8, 9, 12, 14, 50. I mean, I'm immediately going to chop almost $2,000 out of this budget.
Great. Great. So let's do that. Where do you want to chop first?
So the marketing, gone. Okay. You're not doing anything substantial for $200 anyway.
Love it.
Gifts, gone. CrossFit Games, you have to wait till next year.
Let me say one thing on this one too, just to add this in, which is one of the things that I see so common amongst all small business owners, not just gym owners, but all small business owners. But in the gym space, what it looks like is mixing personal and business from decision-making standpoint, right? People already know, I'm mixing bank accounts. But what I'm saying is people will take something like the CrossFit Games and go, well, I can write this off. And legitimately, I'm not here telling you, you cannot write it off from a legal tax standpoint.
You in fact can write it off.
You can.
I don't think you should, if this is what your numbers look like. But.
What I'm telling you is that you're letting your personal desire, right, and your want cloud your judgment as a prudent, wise business owner. And you're making an emotional decision sometimes.
Well, I think it's a combination of two things. Number one, I think you're somewhat correct. I also think it's a lack of understanding about, I think you and I have talked about this, like, the term write-off it's such a pet peeve of mine, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like a write-off. And I'm like, it's like the,
you're still spending,
you know, the Princess Bride thing, which is like, you keep saying that word and I don't think it means what you think it means.
Yes.
You know? And it's like, okay, if we're legitimately having conversations about write-offs, your accountant has come to you and said, you're probably going to want to bring down your tax liability because you're going to have to cut a fat check at the end of the year.
Yes.
Outside of that, those words should probably never come out of your mouth.
100%.
And so the CrossFit Games is a tax write-off, otherwise just stated, and I hate to say this, but it's true. And some people need to hear this, is like, you should just replace it. Like, going to the CrossFit Games is not a tax write-off. Going to the CrossFit Games makes me a dummy. It does. That is an extravagant, unnecessary expense that, while you might miss the games, has no actual value to your life. It doesn't. I'm sorry. Like, it just does not. Because not only are you going to travel to go there, you're going to spend all sorts of other money that to buy a belt and the new grips and all sorts of other shit. So just don't do it. Go next year. Go when it's like not a problem for you to go.
Yes.
So that would come out. The education budget would come out. I'd chop the equipment maintenance fee in half. I wouldn't get rid of it. And then the comp is gone. For multiple reasons, the comp is gone. It probably doesn't make money. And it probably siphons off an outsized percentage of the owner's time in order to do it. Because that's what I see 9 times out of 10, if not 99 times out of 100.
So we just went, right? So cuts. We started at 22.8 for operating expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And after making those cuts, we're at 28.50. Yeah, you were right on it, dude. Cut $2,000.
And then let's see. So ACV there is something. So, and normally, by the way, this is typically how it works, everybody. Normally it's not just like you wring the budget dry. Like, I have to do two things at once. I'm trying to suck the expenses down. I also need to drive revenue, right? And so these are the first two things that we attack with pretty much every affiliate that comes in the door. Occasionally it's not. We do have, call it, I don't know, 10% that come in and they've got like great cash flow, but they're like drowning under work. And I'm like, congratulations. This is the easiest thing for me to solve of all time. I told somebody that at the summit. They were running me through some numbers and I was like, I never say this, but I'm like, this is a layup. And in basketball, what you've just presented to me is a layup. Okay. So now what I'm going to look at is because that ACV is pretty low. Okay. So let's just say that we're still going to go with like worst case scenario, which is like, okay, the mean income is not great, but cost of living is still pretty high. At $131, I personally, because I can speak from hundreds and hundreds of gyms with every possible scenario you could think of. That's still low, which means we have a decent amount of room to work here. Okay. So if we're looking at, and if it, we'll talk timelines here in a minute, but let's say, yeah, it's going to seem a little bit of aggressive, but if we were to try to push that ACV to $150 from about $131, it's about a 15% increase. But again, the percent needs contextualizing with where we started, right? If you're going to say you're going to go 15% from 200, I mean, like that might be a little aggressive depending on where you start.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But it's also worth noting that like the cuts that we just made didn't even get us to break even.
No.
So we have to pull on the other lever.
We have to pull on the other lever.
So I'm probably going to mess around with that, and I'm probably looking at a price increase within the next 90 days. At which point we're going to try to push this to 150. I'm probably going to rip the Band-Aid off here, which means I'll lose some, probably keep the vast majority though. At 190 members, you're probably going to drop 10 to 12 of those, but those are people that probably have, at least in my personal experience at that number 190, for sure, 25 of those have some sort of bro deal. So you're not actually losing a ton.
You're not. Yeah. So let's say we hit revenue now to 150 ACV at
172.
Yeah, and so that's going to be hold on, 150 times 172. Now we're at 25,800.
Yep.
And then after making the cuts, we're now at least breaking even. Right. So now we're total targets have dropped down to 25,200.
Right. And then what I'm probably also going to do here, because this is a bit of a dire situation, mm-hmm. is I'm probably going to push to 4-week billing and probably pass off fees here.
Okay.
Now that might seem it might seem aggressive. Okay. Because it is. In a lot of instances, we're not going to do all of these at the same time. There are instances where I've done this and they look very much like this, which is like, you're going to go out of business.
Yeah.
So we have to do some aggressive things.
Pushing the 4-week billing alone.
Rights the ship. It's about 12% typically was when you look at it.
Let's say, that alone adds
three grand
basically.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah. Probably 2,500. Yeah. 2,500 grand or $2,500 a month. Yeah. Now, to also speak to that, this is typically not something you're going to see in 1 month, right?
No.
It's a weird one it's not all of a sudden I'm just going to have $2,500 extra bucks a month.
Yeah.
It much more shows up on the P&L at the end of the year.
Yes.
So then the question becomes, well, if I've not seen it every month, then how the hell do I keep it? Why not? Run a budget.
And then as the money starts piling up, you're able to push further ahead to the point that now you get a month or two ahead and you will notice a humongous difference with that 4-week bill.
And then I would look at,
I wanted to ask you too on this one. 20, how did you feel that like team payroll was relative to this? And again, this one's tricky because cost of living in the area.
Yeah. In that one, I would want to look at who the players are, right? Okay. So I'd want to see, which is also something we look at. It's just like who the players are. I mean, I could also make another assumption, which in some of these scenarios, like you've got maybe one full-timer in there who's making significantly more than the gym owner, which I've seen time and time again.
Yep.
Who also wields an outsized amount of power inside of affiliate. Different discussion, different podcast. So this one, if I'm just, again, thinking through the Rolodex of gyms that I worked with, also probably comes with a bit of personnel changes. Now, when and how you do that, there's kind of the, hey, we got to do this now versus like, let's let's speed up the treadmill and have them opt out. But there's probably an opportunity here to free up some payroll money too. I don't know what it would be, but you're looking at, you know, almost, what is that? I mean, you're looking at over $80,000 in payroll annually, you know?
Yeah. So, and on a, you know, on a 28,
it's that's a 30, that's a 30%, roughly 30%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ish, payroll number, which might seem a little bit high, but like, as you start to run larger numbers, your payroll becomes like a much larger percentage of your revenue.
Has to be.
You know, it wouldn't be weird if it got to 40%, honestly. But you have a full team at that point.
And so now at this point, like, this is where, and I'll say this, you know, this is kind of my last little two cents on this one, is if we do all this, right? So now we've freed up, basically we've created $3,000 extra a month through all these changes.
Right.
And so now the question becomes, from a personal owner standpoint, now I'm interested in knowing their personal situation and knowing like, do we need to pay you more than $1,500 a month?
Right.
Or like, you know, do you have a spouse that can handle that, that's helping out, so you don't necessarily need it? And we can use that to get us
paying out some of this debt. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because if looking at that 25, let's just say that you could split that, right? Let's just say, okay, I do need more money. I'm like, cool, I'll split the 3,000. I will push that over to you. So 1,500, right? So now you're at 36. Mm-hmm. You could probably find another four, take up some personal training, probably find another. Because if with a payroll like that, you're probably not the primary cog coach in the wheel. Yeah. You shouldn't be, right? So we have to have a much more in-depth conversation about this. But I would look at that and be like, okay, well, let's assume that you're not doing all of the work.
Yeah.
This might also be somebody who's a part-time owner, at which point, like, we get real aggressive, which is like, hey, I have another job. Yep. I like the extra income, but I don't need it. I'm like, great. I'm going to dump $3,000 a month into this debt, and we're going to clear that $25,000 in like 8 months.
Yeah.
You know? And then
we can increase our payroll and like,
now we can look at all that other stuff, but that is, you're approaching numbers there that get hard to get out of, particularly if I'm only paying minimums.
Yes.
You're looking at like your interest rates.
It takes forever. So, takes forever.
I mean, 20, I don't know what that is. Like, I'm just running some math, like $400 to $500 minimum, or sorry, interest on 25,000, 482 ish, something along those lines. I've had my fair share of debt, everybody. So that's just interest.
Yeah.
Which means if I'm going to try to pay this down in any sort of reasonable time frame, I'm going to have to get real aggressive.
Yep.
With this.
Yep.
Now, what you did was, now I'm going to end up getting $3,000 back into the budget.
Yes.
In 8 months.
Yeah.
Which is like, dude, now you can do some damage.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, so, we're literally talking about $3,000 into the budget when they were paying themselves $1,500 a month.
Right. So right? Within a 12-month time frame, I can look at completely flipping this entire scenario upside down.
Yeah.
Maybe less. And in that particular scenario, I will be very candid. That situation comes with a whole series of ups and downs. I've seen it many, many times.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh guys, we did it, right? There's some shit storms in there with shitty clients. You have a coach who's going to give you a problem. You're going to have an exodus of members for whatever reason. But we have fixed many scenarios like that. But I do not want everybody to think like, if you just make those changes,
everything's great. Yeah.
Problems. Yeah. No, that is not how that works. That is not how that works at all. Anybody who tells you that is completely full of shit. But that's where you work through it. You're like, hey, listen, you know, like I can think of a couple of people, again, by name, who have had similar scenarios like that. As a coach, I'm like, listen, you have to hug the cactus, dude. Like, I don't know how else to tell you. Like, listen, if you just hug real tight for about 4 or 5 months, you'll be all right. But it's going to be painful. So just get that in your mind that like, it's going to be painful. And I'm like, right. You put yourself here though. So let's just get it over with.
100%. Well, this was fun, man. Hopefully this was helpful for people. It was fun for me kind of putting them together and then kind of springing them on you. So,
yeah. And again, like those, I'm not a math wizard. I just have looked at so many of these, over the years that I can quasi do them in my sleep. And typically it's pretty easy for me to decipher, like, where do we go first as far as like, what's the low hanging fruit. And for anybody that's interested, like, and if any one of those scenarios like resonated with you, just reach out, set up a call. Cause like, we do this all day, every day, and we'll map that out for you. And, because again, we want people to run better affiliates. We want people to have fun. I want everybody to pay themselves six figures. Like that's my target, right? Like, and I'm not saying six figures on only 150 members. Like, I don't, that 150 members is a dozen, that number is irrelevant to me. I don't care. You know, I want everybody to have 400 members. Cause I think that's a real thing. There's no shortage of people that need what we have. And gym owners should not be the martyrs that march down that path. They should be, you know, the Spartans, you know, running down there like ready to go, because they have their shit in order and they're taking care of themselves. And that's my vision for that, is that we can do it that way. Because the reality is, doing that version of it takes CrossFit a whole lot further.
Yeah. It's better for everybody in that version.
Yeah. So, and more importantly, there's no reason for people to suffer like that. That is a solvable problem. It's a solvable problem. And I've done probably all three of those versions, to be honest with you. If I really think about it, I have. All three of those have been me at some point in my 14 years. So it is a solvable problem. So if you guys have questions, please reach out. You do not have to suffer in silence. You do not have to, you know, you're not alone in that scenario. Your situation is highly likely to be unsolvable. And quite frankly, if it is, I'm going to tell you. I'll be like, you need to sell that and shut it down. Because that is an insurmountable task. And I can think of maybe one or two scenarios in which I've done that. So, but this is stuff that we do with gym owners all the time. Again, we want to run good affiliates, and that means we got to know the numbers. So
totally.
Cool. Thanks, Nick, again, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Love coming on.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.